This is a Collider.com audio interview.
You've seen Dollar Control on the set. It was amazing. It was so interesting. What in particular was it that pulled you to the script?
Its originality, really. I'd never read anything quite as crazy and wild and mad as this script. Mm-hmm. And that's why I wanted to do it.
How does it feel to kill someone with a carrot?
One of the challenges of the movie was trying to make carrots cool. It's the biggest challenge.
Michael said he fantasizes about running someone off the road, and we all have our pet peeves. What are yours? I know I have one for chewing gum. Black women have a thing of cracking, popping gum, and I want to take a bun of a gun and blow all the teeth out. You know, that really irks me. So, do you have any?
I don't really. I'm quite calm, but I relate to the road rage one. When there's an idiot driving crazily in front of you, that can wind the best of us up.
So did you create a backstory for where this guy was before we see him on the bus stop?
No.
Not at all. Is that the best part of the movie, though, that you don't know anything?
That is. And I like that, yeah. And I think it's important. And I think even when Paul's character gives us that history, we don't know if he's right or not. Mm-hmm. And that's good. All you need to know about that guy is that when it all goes off, he's going to deliver. Mm-hmm. And that's all you need to know.
Which came first? Two movies of you saving a baby.
Yeah. Two movies of me delivering a baby on camera. Yeah, okay.
Which came first? In the second one, did you say, well, do I want to do this again?
It was very bizarre. Two films back to back shooting. That full-on delivery scenes with me there delivering a baby. It's weird, I don't know why, but I've been there twice in real life too, so I felt I could draw on that experience.
Ever wanted to be a doctor and something?
No, but luckily when my two girls were born, I wasn't being shot at.
So have you watched any of the Chow Yun-Fat, John Woo films?
Yeah, I love those films.
Did that influence how you play this character? You
know, well, there's no question that he must have got, you know, he must have got his inspiration from that, from Hard Boiled, with the scene with the baby. He's so cool, John. In fact, and those films are like, they're operatic in terms of their sort of action ambitions, you know. I think they're wonderful films, those early John Woo films.
You recently went to Comic-Con to promote the film. So, looking at it was a few weeks ago now, or two, whatever. Can you talk about your experiences going there?
I made it out. I'm here. I actually, to be honest with you, I didn't think it was as crazy as everyone built it up to be. I think there's a huge amount of people that are very passionate about what they're into, and it's a cool thing that they all come together and share it. And you know, if you're crazy about some character in some comic book or whatever, and you can go and share it, and there was about sort of 10 versions of Rutger Hauer in Blade Runner walking around that hall, you know, it's like, and they all get together and can realize they're not alone.
Are you able to, at your celebrity level, walk the convention floor, or was it?
It's a little tricky, and there were some pretty crazy characters there, so I mean, I could, yeah, I did. I walked through there, but I couldn't hang about. I had to have a bit of a pace on.
How easy or difficult was it in the love scene, the one-hand shooting?
He animated. That was one of the scenes, you know, he did all this animated pitch for the movie, and that was one of the scenes he animated. And nearly all the action sequences, we kept very close to the animation, shot by shot. That was a little trickier because some of it was physically impossible to do. Two little stick drawings could do everything, but Monica and I, we had to adapt a little.
Did you ever want to do James Bond? I mean, you did a cameo once, and I think anyone who didn't choose James Bond had been something really strong.
There was a lot of speculation about the whole Bond thing, but it was all just sort of media hype, and I'm very happy doing what I'm doing.
Speaking of what you're doing, what are you lined up to do in the next few months, or what have you recently shot, if I can ask?
I've been taking a bit of time off, and I'm about to start a really exciting project with Tom Tykwer, the guy who did Run, Lola, Run and Perfume. And it's a big international political thriller that's a really wonderful script.
Can you talk about your character in it?
I play a guy from Interpol who's trying to expose and bring down one of the world's biggest banks. And every time he comes close, things get very strange, people are murdered, and people back off, and he's obsessively follows them around the world, trying to get people to, you know, believe, and he's trying to bring this back down because they deserve to be brought down.
In preparing to play such a hard-boiled, cynical character, where did you go? What did you draw upon?
It was just about sort of, he's a very sort of classic, iconic sort of, you know, action guy, really. He was very contained, you don't know much about him, and it was just about sort of, there's something very satisfying about shooting action, because action sequences are very clear what your objectives are. You go shot by shot through the sequence, you've got to achieve it all, and it was quite straightforward. It was just about, you know, keeping him as contained and cool as possible, really.
Well, he has no problem killing grown-ups, and he tries to leave the baby at one point. Do you have a sense of why he cares that the baby not get killed? Why he decides to protect it at all?
He's a nice guy. He's a nice guy. All those guys that get killed, they're all deserving.
Well, you, after Children of Men, and you get offered a lot of scripts. Was it Mike's personality that really pulled you in, that got you to come into
this? It was certainly a key part of it, yeah. But it was more the originality of the script from the word go. And then it was about meeting Michael and seeing what Michael, you know his take on the film. My biggest concern, to tell the truth, was not with this. I read the script and said, that's wild. If you can pull this off, it's just fresh, original, and witty, and really good fun. But Michael hadn't done a film on this scale. So the concern is, can Michael actually pull this off? It's one thing writing, this is John Woo's wet dream. John Woo's a master of the action genre. And I met Michael. He'd storyboarded the entire film. Every time I asked him a practical question about shooting this scene or that scene, he knew every angle he wanted to do. He knew if he was running out of time, how he could compromise by cutting that guy out, and then I just need this angle and that angle. And I was like, one, if he doesn't make the film, he's going to explode. I don't want that to happen to the guy. And two, he's ready to make this film. He's been waiting a long time, and you know, he is together, and he'll pull it off. So,
did you watch his previous films?
I haven't actually, no.
Pretty good.
Are they?
Yeah, I've seen a couple of them.
Yeah.
When your character's running with the baby, a lot of times it looks like a stiff plastic doll. Is that like
thanks for that, yeah. I'm glad we achieved that, yeah.
Why do they decide to do that instead of, you know, always having a real baby or more realistic
I suppose it has something to do with a three-week-old baby. I'm not sure any mother would let me tear around shooting an Uzi with a real baby. I mean, we doubled the baby. You know, we used the real baby as much as we felt was right and proper and fair. I mean, it's a crazy, wild movie, and we're not gonna be irresponsible in real life.
But you know what I'm saying? It does look fake as in other movies.
You better tell Michael that.
But I'm supposed to.
Do you think this movie says anything about guns in New York? In America, I know in England, the Bobbies, do they still just have sticks, or do they have guns?
They have chasers.
They don't. There's not a big gun culture in England at all still. Mm-hmm. The rumour is that some of the police carry them, but it's all kept very quiet, which is not a bad thing, because I like living in a gun-free environment. But no, I mean, I think the gun plot in this, the whole plot, is just an excuse to get to the next action scene quickly, isn't it?
Did you have to go and practice, learn how to shoot? How fun was that?
It was. There was a lot of weapons, because I shoot a vast array of different guns. It was an experience.
When I watched The Rail, that was kind of a frustrating movie, because your character like always seemed to, you know, not do what you wanted him to do, you know, being taken advantage of. And this movie was, like, very therapeutic.
It was the same guy. I'm glad you spotted that. It was his revenge movie.
Where do you live?
In London.
What thought have you given to playing Mr. Smith again, should the audience demand it?
We'll see how this one goes, yeah. I mean, Mike has already written a script. And on my life, it makes this one look like kids' television. It is. I honestly don't think you'll get it past the censors. That's how ridiculous it is. I mean, the merging of sex and violence in the next one is verging on porn.
And can you talk about Elizabeth the Golden Age and working with Cate Blanchett a little bit?
Well, she's an absolute phenomenal actress. I was a huge fan of Elizabeth, the original movie. They all came back. Shaker came back to direct, and Jeffrey Rush came back. It was a wonderful script, and I think it's going to be a pretty amazing film.
I was going to ask you, I'm going to touch on Children of Men, which was one of the best films of last year, and I mean brilliant in every sense of the word. When you look back on your experiences, why do you think it didn't connect with more people with box office? Because it is an astonishing film.
It's very hard to put your finger on why that happens sometimes, but I know for a fact, I was actually with Chivo, who shot the film, last night. He's here in New York making a movie, and we got together and talking about the movie. I mean, it's certainly one that I'm extremely proud of, and I know it'll be a film that in years to come, when I look back on a career, it'll be up there as being, you know. And it's very difficult to know why sometimes people go or they don't go. But at the end of the day, I'm not one of those actors who sort of judges films on sort of just on, you know, how they figure in the box office. I watch a film, and the most important thing to me is what I think of the movie. And I watch that film, and I think it's a bold, ambitious, visionary movie, and I'm extremely proud of it.
Do you think it's going to be a film like Blade Runner? That is,
I think it will be. I mean, it certainly gets an incredible reaction from a lot of people around me. People are always coming up to me and telling me, you know, how fantastic they think the movie is. So I do think, and it feels like a movie that will stand the test of time. There's something very real and authentic about it that I don't think it will date, because it's a visionary movie.
It actually broke my heart to see how poorly it was marketed in the U.S. by Universal. I'll just put it out there. because it was a movie that I saw. They weren't even going to bring, you know, too many screenings to New York, and I fought to get in one, and I thought it just took my breath away. With a film like that maybe didn't connect with an audience, if it does have another life on DVD, do you think it's something that could go to a sequel or a prequel? Because I definitely saw possibilities when I watched it. I thought it was the best movie of 2006. So.
I don't think there would ever be a sequel. I mean, excitingly, Alfonso and I are talking about doing another film together. And I do think he's a really incredible, special talent. It's amazing the impact the film's had. And, you know, as you say, even if it didn't get a huge, broad, you know, it wasn't, you know, hugely commercially successful, it certainly made a very big impact.
So you and Alfonso make the movie for Universal?
they've got a deal, haven't they? The Mexican Mafia.
Yep. I was going to, if I could go a little further, how far along is he on the script? Is this a project that's...
No, we've been talking about a number of ideas, but we're just both very, very keen to have the experience again, because, I mean, I adored the guy. We got on fantastically. It was one of the best collaborations I've ever had in my career. And I think there is something so unique and authentic about the way he makes movies and, you know, what he's after. And, I want to be in movies that stand the test of time, and I think he's a guy to follow if you want to be in one of them.
Do you think that the expectations have gotten higher since you were nominated for an Oscar?
Expectations?
From the public and from the filmmakers for you to deliver and to reach new standards?
No. I mean, I try every film I do to be as good as I can, and that's all I can do. I can't step up a gear, because I put everything I can into my movies anyway.
When you play historical figures between something that's more historical, like Golden Age, versus something that might be a little more mythological, like King Arthur, do you do more research for something like that?
Yeah, I had to read about Walter Raleigh for sure, because I didn't know that much about him. I knew tobacco, potatoes, and the cloak, and that was about it. So I went off and read about him, and you know, there's, you could make 5 films on that guy. He was an extraordinary character, but you know, you're then playing him within the context of a film that's actually about Elizabeth the Queen. So I would do more. I'd certainly do more. I mean, you talk about shoot 'em up. There's not much research to do there about get comfortable with a huge amount of guns. But Walter Raleigh, yeah, I should find out a bit about him if I'm going to play him. Yeah.
Is your character in real life anything similar to the one in the movie? Meaning, a badass in a way, someone who can take care of problems that may come, that arise.
Someone in.
That's like in the film Shoot 'Em Up. He didn't, anything that was wrong, he could write. So it, how could you relate to that in the real life?
Not at all. No, it's. I think this film exists in a crazy, crazy Michael Davis complete cinematic experience. I mean, the violence and the craziness in the film, I think, has no relation to my real life. It's pure, unashamed entertainment that says we'll deliver certain things in this film, and one of them will be wicked action sequences with a wicked sense of humor.
Do you think people, audiences, maybe get hung up on reality too much? Like, even an action movie, they demand some sort of reality. This is sort of the answer to that.
Yeah, I do. And I think that this film exists in pure cinema. And that's why when some, you know, occasionally people might get upset by the violence and shoot 'em up and ask you to justify it. And I say, it's like Tom and Jerry. It's nothing to do with real violence in the real world. You will never see a shootout with guys skydiving from a plane. It's not going to happen. It's entertainment. Right. And you know, you have to admit that watching a really brilliantly well-conceived action sequence is a satisfying thing in movies.
Could you talk
last
about,
question.
I was going to say, could you talk about the challenges of filming that love scene with Monica?
Oh, it was so difficult. It's work, work, work. There were challenges because it's actually a full-blown shootout. I mean, it just happens to be whilst making love. But, you know, it was still a big technical, had to be prepared and rehearsed and worked out because there was such a lot going on. So, but it is one of the wittiest, funnest scene in the movie.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.